You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of November 24th, 2021. And today I'm thankful for Hextech.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Alboy.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And we are at the movies, the home movies.
The home box office.
The home streaming office. You can... It's like movies, except you could get high with impunity and go to the bathroom whenever you want to.
Yeah, it's great.
So I guess this came out a few weeks ago and Netflix dropped it in a few different bundles, but we are going to talk about the short run series Arcane.
Yes.
I was going to say a League of Legends story, but I think that's the Star Wars nomenclature.
No. Just... They do use a League of Legends story. I don't know if they use it for Arcane, but they use it for all of the other League of Legends games.
Right.
So like the recently they dropped, I should say, by the way, it is fascinating to me. And although I don't necessarily 100% agree with this tactic, but they went so hard around this show. In regards to its marketing, and then dropping four video games.
Yeah, it's like a fucking pinata. They hit this thing, and then
they're just like, you know what? Let's compete against ourselves for ad dollars. Thwack! And then they just burst the pinata that is like everything that's been cooking over at Riot Games. So anyway, they released at least two games, unveiled a total of four.
Yeah.
And some of them are quote unquote a League of Legends story.
So. Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, though, most of them, if not all of them, are referencing or building on the lore established in Arcane, right?
And this is so many years coming for Riot, right? Like, I thought they were going to be doing something at this scale years ago, but this is when we talk about like the pinnacle of transmedia or what transmedia means and how it can truly be impactful. This is a company firing on all cylinders in that regard because it's not just that they're a success. Maybe it won't be a success. Who knows? Although I think Arcane's been doing very, very well.
I think so.
But it is a company that is looking at their entire suite of product, right? Rechanging how they are understanding consumers because they're like, it's not just about them playing League of Legends. It's about getting them in our ecosystem.
Yeah, it's about eyeballs.
Yes, and time spent and moving them from one thing to another in a way that like mobile game companies in a way have been thinking for decades. But I think larger game companies, when they have these transmedia properties, don't think of in that way. And really building that ecosystem and building it out so that all the pieces are working and humming together. This, to me, again, I don't know if it's a success from a dollar or ROI perspective, right? Dollar in, dollar out.
Yeah.
But this is what I think of when I think of a truly transmedia launch.
Yeah. I mean, I have not... I don't... I'm not deep into the Riot / League scene, but... How expected was this? You know, was there rumors swirling around this, or did this take people by surprise when they jumped on all this stuff?
So we knew Netflix was working on Arcane for quite a while. They had announced that they were working on a Netflix partnership.
It's hard to hide a Hollywood in like the kind of general perspective, because like, you know, for whatever reason, TV and movies just aren't as secretive as games. So it's hard to hide that shit. Yeah. But like, how about the games? Like, were those things hidden?
So, no, we also knew that they were working on several projects because they had eaten up a couple of other studios and they had been hiring extensively over the past few years for a bunch of other products and projects. So we knew that they were working on a handful of games. They had announced like Riot Forge, which I believe is what they call the studio that's working on side projects as well, outside of League of Legends. We had known that this was a thing. So if you were paying attention to like Riot Games as a company, you knew that they were working on a bunch of stuff. I don't think anybody expected them to all drop those four games at once. And honestly, it's been a whirlwind. I've barely had time to look at them. That's my biggest complaint is like, how do I both watch your show and play League and play these four fucking video games? Like maybe slow it down a little bit, you know?
Right.
Also, side note, we talked about this on the podcast a few weeks ago. They also have a Wizards of the Coast secret lair tie-in, so you can now get magic cards with Arcane. What sucks is that it's not art, it's not custom art, it's literally just screenshots from the show. which sucks.
Nice. They're like, print screen and we're done. Like,
yeah, yeah. Copy paste, right? This is all you requested. And they're printing cards that are like sellers, you know, Rhystic Studies. Yeah. Just such a huge card. It's wild. And anyway.
Wizards of the Coast is like, fuck you guys, we'll take a million. You know?
I mean, it's wild because Wizards of the Coast, I mean, look, Wizards of the Coast announced they're doing that Chandra television show.
Yeah.
You know, they have Arena, they have this. This could be their footprint for the next transmedia thing. You know, this could be the path that they want to follow.
So, I mean, we'll talk a little bit about, did you finish the show?
I did.
Okay, got it.
Yep.
So we'll talk about that. It's like a 9-episode arc, and then as we talk about it, I am somewhat interested to hear your take on some of these games because it seems like they're trying to tie them in a little bit.
Yep.
And also just the characters in general, but I will say that we'll probably just have to go into spoilers fairly early, but I'm cool just kind of talking in kind of philosophical terms about the show as well, since I was pretty interested by it, all things considered. Where should we start?
Well, you know, we've talked a lot about what it means to make a good movie or television show or an adaptation from a video game, right?
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about before we started recording, but we're in this era where, you know, we know that everything old is new again because we've been tapping those wells for so long, mm-hmm. but we are full cloth going into the bottom of the barrel of big IP, right? Like,
yeah.
We saw that Cowboy Bebop got a live-action retelling. I've not yet watched it, but that dropped on Netflix this week, right? Yeah. We have a live-action Wheel of Time, which is just this hugely expansive fantasy series. I think it's doing pretty well. $10 million an episode. So one of the most expensive television shows ever made. Mm. In an attempt to sort of recapture that sort of Game of Thrones thing, right?
Yeah.
And most relevant is it was just announced today that Amazon, following the success of Wheel of Time, or the perceived success, have already are really close in talks at picking up Mass Effect for a big, expansive, expensive television series, right?
It's so crazy to me because Mass Effect is already such a good TV series as a video game.
Yes, exactly. Well, I mean, we also have, you know, Uncharted, but that's a film. But I think, I honestly think that Arcane is the opening of what I fully expect more video game adaptations to be, which are... Mm. Episodic expansive television series rather than the dream of a movie, because why have a one-off thing that doesn't exist? That's not one-on-one to the way that games are experienced, especially live brands like League of Legends that are on all the time and you always want people to be engaged in the world and that story. It makes a ton of sense to have something like this. And even for something like Mass Effect, where, you know, they don't want to bury that series. There's going to be other games. There's going to be spin-off games.
Yep.
That's a very strong IP that BioWare needs, right? So I think Arcane's success thus far is opening that up. So I guess before we talk about the narrative arc and all that stuff, what did you generally think of Arcane as... tie into a video game? Maybe you're not super familiar with it, but you knew going in this is a video game based story.
How did it
perform?
I knew enough. You know how I felt, actually. I felt the way that probably some people felt when they were watching Final Fantasy The Spirits Within.
Oh, that's okay, but this is the terrible comparison. Final Fantasy Spirits Within is notably terrible.
You know what? We should rewatch Final Fantasy Spirits Within and just see how it holds up, because I remember
I'll defend thinking, that show. I liked it when I watched it, or the film.
Because I remember thinking to myself, this is fine, but I do remember thinking to myself, if I did not know about Final Fantasy, this movie would be worse. And there was definitely things where, and I know enough about League to know that, you know, there's the gauntlets. She's got the gauntlets. You know, it's like,
that's pretty sweet, though.
You know, the, or just Jinx in general. Like, I know, generally speaking, she's a popular character.
I mean, she's a Harlequin version, right?
Yes. Yeah. And then my knowledge gets sketchier, right? Where I was like, oh yeah, there's Hammer Guy. I know about Hammer Guy.
Jace,
you know, like
I've
seen him.
Yeah. Did you know Victor? Probably not.
No, yeah. I didn't know of Victor. And when I did some reading about it, it was more, I probably would have gotten, or at least I would have enjoyed that payoff more had I known that character, because you can kind of see where it's going. And then I kind of have a general idea of like the world and everything, but I feel like the, you know, it's not a requirement that you know a lot about League of Legends, obviously, but I think there is a lot of fan service that is subtle enough that you would appreciate it if you are familiar with the game.
Yeah, I think the fan service more often than not is about payoff, right? Because there are those moments when, you know, Jace first wields and transforms his hammer into the sort of gun.
Exactly.
Like, that's a very cool, iconic moment because that's a very recognizable weapon, you know? And if anything, the show makes these abilities far cooler than they are in the game, you know, because you've just seen them so many times and they've killed you a bajillion times, right? So it's not something that you don't bat an eye every time his hammer transforms like 1,000 times in a single match, you know? Nothing is cool about that. But.
That's always a funny part about a video game or a TV show where it's like, just the way that they're fighting or the way that the scene is set up, you know, this happens 20 times a match in an actual game.
Whereas
this is an ultimate showdown that they're having together. But there's other good things where it's like there was a lot of fights. Funny enough, there were many fights that were just in a lane, which I thought was funny.
Oh, I had never thought about that. Yeah, because they're like on a bridge or
something. They're on a bridge. Yeah, there's a lot of just like kind of...
I don't know if that was intentional, like an intentional nod.
I mean, like, especially that first one, like that first fight when she's defending Vander, they're just coming at her in waves. You know, like like one guy comes, then two guys, then another two guys. And it's like, oh, this is like
just creeps.
Very much like the game. Yeah. Like, or even the more like offhanded references, you know, they call the poor part of town, the lanes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could have actually done with more MOBA references. You know, I thought they were going to have to, at a certain point, I thought this was going to be some sort of mission where it's like, We're gonna have to
destroy that tower.
Exactly. I was like, hey, we're gonna have to dispatch the council. In order to dispatch them, we need to destroy their three bases that shield their thing, and we need to hit them.
Oh God! I'm so glad that did not happen. That would have been so awkward.
I could have sworn that was gonna happen, and it didn't, which is fine, I guess. But like, yeah, I don't.
But you wanted more. You wanted even a closer tie-in.
I wanted more MOBA. I mean,
interesting.
I guess we can get into this, but like, I am like a solid like. Basically like 2 or 3 out of 5 on this show.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
I don't mean this to be a dick, but like for the life of me, I don't know why people are liking this so much. Yeah. Like people are like raving about it. And I'm like, this is fine, but like, I don't know. Check out Castlevania. It's pretty fucking good on Netflix.
I mean, Castlevania is, you know, I hear good things. I've seen a couple episodes. It's very good for sure. Yeah. I definitely am more favorable on Arcane. You're right though. I am familiar with the world.
Yeah.
But we can get into why in a bit. But it's interesting that you would want more MOBA stuff though, because I feel like so much of the complaint about film adaptations are the excess number of nods to the game, which a show can never achieve, right? Like a show or a film adaptation of another property must stand on its own, in its own regard, in its own medium, right? And Arcane feels to me like a very strong answer to that exact problem, right? It stands on its own. It's a prequel. So there are characters that are from the world of League of Legends, and some of that world, I should say, is built out, right? Riot, several years ago, updated their entire in-universe lore and changed the aesthetic that they were going for. And so they've really been building towards like a cohesive world, right? And you've seen this in some of the events in League of Legends. And I think this is fulfilling some of that promise that world building did, right? But I think if this had been loaded full of like MOBA or game references, it would have been absolutely unbearable. Whereas I think as it stands, it's a really solid animated and relatively mature story for people who wouldn't necessarily be getting those references anyway.
I guess I was thinking they would do it more like a true leap, you know, like a you're right over there.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I'm tied to my computer, so I stepped away for a second and it knocked a plate, and it's good.
Start again. This is what happens when violent video games take over your media. You know, actually, when speaking of sound effects, one of the I think it's a good thing, but the show's sound design is is wild. I mean, especially if you're watching it with headphones, like the amount of like all the sound effects are very upfront. They're like right up in your face the whole time, whether it's someone like walking down a corridor or like even the dialogue. Like it just feels like they just mic'd up every little thing and just did a huge amount of Foley work or whatever. And
yeah,
there's a certain richness to the overall aesthetic that I do like. I mean, I kind of go back and forth on the aesthetic overall. Like it to me, it looks like a very fancy version of the Telltale engine in a weird way. Which is, I think some of it is good and some of it is kind of weirded me out a little bit, but overall they at least took a swing, which I liked quite a bit. And they kind of did some weird animation along with the CG stuff, which, you know, they at least gave it a look, which I liked, and they gave it an aesthetic.
It felt like a painting or something, you know, like it's very almost like a French painting style. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I guess the going back to the MOBA stuff, like some of the stuff that, so the problem with MOBAs in my mind is that there kind of is no story in them to justify them, because it's always a random collection of heroes doing random shit for no reason.
Yeah.
And so I thought it would be cool to actually, you know, lean into the League of Legends, the League side of the League of Legends, of like, who are the factions? Why are they working together? How are they teaming up? How are they working together and why? Which would have led it more to a kind of a caper type of show versus an interpersonal kind of 1v1 style type of show.
It's so interesting though, because I mean, I think you're right about that story conflict. And I think the answer to that is this type of thing, right? Which is you tell stories outside of it. Like the events in League of Legends are, you know, like in terms of the actual gameplay in any given moment, doesn't matter, right? It's like you playing with superhero action figures, right? Like you might take Batman and Batman might fight Iron Man in your head canon, but the reality is Batman's parents were murdered as children, right? Like it's a far darker story, you know,
right?
Versus whatever you're playing out in your head canon. And the League of Legends game, and when it first launched, it was that world, right? There was a fictional lore of like, you're a summoner who exists outside of time and you're summoning these people. And they abandoned all of that because trying to force that narrative is such a futile effort that they're just like, well, screw it. We'll just, you know, this is its own thing. This is its own video game set in that universe, but the actual world is bigger than that, you know?
Right.
And
then
your characters and the skins that you're selling are just referencing those other storylines, right?
Right.
I mean, at some point you have to decide, like, where does your story lie? Does it lie in the actual minute-to-minute gameplay, I mean, rather your narrative, or is your narrative something that exists externally and you're just sort of building, you know, the building blocks around it?
Yeah. So, and tell me, is the kind of general level of seriousness and tone, is that indicative of the other out of game lore that has been put together recently?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, a lot of the lore in League of Legends recently, like once they sort of reestablished the universe, is quite dark and much more dramatic, right? Like there are characters that are, you know, I mean, they're all the characters from the television show, but every character has their own sort of backside and you know, relationships to other characters, right? Like one character is the experiment of another, but beyond that, it's like, it's not just that, oh, this werewolf guy is a werewolf guy. It's that, oh, he used to be human and he used to have a wife and a kid and then he was kidnapped and he was tortured and now he's like trying to reclaim it. And so you build up into these fantastical characters, right? Because you need them to be fantastical, but their background lore is more nuanced, you know, because I think the ideal, right, is that you're invested in these characters and you're invested in the relationship with them, right?
Right.
I think it was the first time when they released Senna, a character in the video game, she was canonically the wife of another character, but she had been like trapped in this like soul lantern, right? Which sounds ridiculous, a big convoluted story. But the idea of like the wife gets out of the lantern and is now a playable character in the game,
right?
And then tells this big story that's part of this, you know, this weird like Witch King stuff,
right?
That's kind of a neat way of adding to the lore and adding to the characters in the universe without needing to sort of fundamentally change anything. And now when you've got those two characters in the game and they're delivering, you know, quips or one-liners to each other, they're referencing that more serious story, mm-hmm. but it's in the context of, you know, you're just playing this League of Legends game.
Right, right. I feel like that you know, that sort of thing, probably Riot and Blizzard are the pioneers of. I mean, that's like, it reminds me of Overwatch a lot, or when we were all playing Overwatch.
Yes, very much like Overwatch.
They did this, like, huge amount of background lore that, you know, you could get into, but in the game, it would just be, you know, McCree talking shit to, you know, Winston or whatever, you know, like it's fine. I just was not clear if this was the overriding tone of League, kind of as a, is this the style book of League at this point? And it sounds like it is.
From a narrative perspective, yeah, I do. I think it is. And that's kind of what I mean by being, you know, taking a more holistic approach. I don't know if those other four games that they unveiled necessarily follow that same tone. I imagine they don't because, you know, even even in something like Marvel, right? Like, we have Endgame, but we also have, like, Squirrel Girl and, like, the Canadian superheroes and stuff, right? Where there's, like, different stakes and different types of stories still told within the overall Marvel universe, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the same approach they're taking for some of these stories, right?
Right.
I think what I'll say to the show's credit, which again, I think I probably liked much more than you did, is that I think it's really easy to fall back on retelling video game narratives and stories as, look at all of these heroes that you love to play. Aren't they awesome, perfect heroes, right? Mm. But I think that there's a lot of nuance to the characters in Arcane that I didn't expect, right? What I thought we would get was, here's Jace, and here's Caitlyn, and here's Vi, and, like, they're all awesome. And Jinx is a lovable Harlequin type, right?
Right.
But pretty much every single character does pretty fucking deplorable shit in the events of this show. And outside of, like, I don't know, maybe Caitlyn, everyone has done some really unforgivable things, you know? And I think taking that approach of undermining the heroics of the heroes that we meet is really cool and kind of daring, right? Because I think normally when you think about a video game adaptation, like Nathan Drake in the upcoming Uncharted, right? We've talked endlessly about how the last, not only the sort of ludonarrative dissonance of I'm killing a bunch of people, but also I'm a fun, lovable guy, right? And then that sort of coming home to roost in what is narratively and mechanically the most satisfying ending in Uncharted 4, right? And that took a long time to build towards that. Or we see it now with God of War, right? I think it's much more tempting when we're doing like a film adaptation where let's just go back to that lovable guy. We just want Indiana Jones again, right?
Right.
We just want someone who can kill Nazis and it's okay because they're the bad guy.
Right.
As opposed to let's tell a story in this world where the people that are involved are, you know, pretty complicated.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was... they clearly take it seriously, you know, and which is cool because they could, you know, definitely just devolve into fan service or, you know, just more gamey.
Yeah.
A more gamey approach. What do you think about this? I think they could have used more episodes. How do you feel about that?
I agree. I mean, the show ends. I mean, we can get into spoilers pretty quickly here, but the show ends setting up a season two, which has already been greenlit, so we know that it's coming. Yeah. So there's certainly more stories to tell there. I do think the jumps in time, right, I think is effective because the first three episodes take place in the past, and then it jumps to the present.
Yeah.
But I think that the 9-episode arc works because really fundamentally the story is about Jinx, right? Like, how does Jinx become Jinx? We see her sort of quote-unquote become Jinx at that younger age, but I think her full arc is complete in 9 episodes. So I think the story of like Zahn and Piltover and Jace and these other characters, that feels a little bit undone. But from my perspective, if we're just looking at it as this is fundamentally a story about how Jinx becomes Jinx, I think that 9 episodes is smart. And frankly, I would prefer a shorter series because there's so much fucking television to watch these days than something that goes unnecessarily long. Like, I'll take a too short show over an overly long show any day of the week.
I guess my problem was that I feel like I got to the end of that still being kind of feeling like Jinx was not actually given enough time to develop because they... they did the first three where she's a kid and then she makes her huge mistake and like kills and hurts her friends.
Yeah.
And then the time jump, and then she's Harlequin. And then it's like, it just goes really fast into the kind of
like Harley what happened Quinn. In between.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Harley Quinn story is a fascinating story and a great one, but like they justify it by saying that like Joker twisted her over many, many, you know, sessions, and like it was a long-term thing, where it's like they skipped that part. Like I wasn't even at the very end of the which, by the way, we'll just say spoilers now, like at the end of the first arc where like she kills her friends by accident. Vi is walking away from her, and then she like hugs this guy that she's never seen before, and
yeah,
it's like, you're my dad now, and it's like, why, like what, she could have used more time to justify why she would look to someone. And then also
the silk really transition was fast. I'll give you that. Yeah. But well, I think we're meant to assume a little bit that she's already kind of crazy, right? Like her and Vi grew up in these horrible conditions. And
well, I would have wanted to see more of that. Like what created that, you know, like, and at the end, I actually really
liked
that.
But like, do you need to see, I don't know. Because part of me is like, yes, but also do you need to see child abuse? Like, do you need to see,
we
see where they grew up.
I don't later need to see the like, I guess I don't need to see the like explicit, but I want to hear more of the philosophy of like how she became Jinx, where at the end of the show, I actually think some of the most effective stuff is you kind of don't know how Silco truly felt about her, because there were definitely things where it was like, wow, like he's going to sell her out. And then there were times where at the very end, when he says, I would have never sold you out to her.
Yeah.
I believed it. I was like, this guy. And like, even when he was thinking about selling her out, he was at the statue of Vander and like crushed by it. You know, like this isn't a guy who he wasn't just manipulating her. And so
agreed.
But I wanted to see, I guess up until that very moment, which is like literally the last 10 minutes of the entire series, I was like, why does Jinx like Silco that much? You know, what did he do to win her over in this way?
Yeah.
And I just would have, I think the show really, really toes a very taut line between the kind of like, you know, manic pixie psycho girl archetype and an actual three-dimensional character. And I think the three-dimensional character is there. I just think that I would have wanted more, because it really quickly got into the whole kind of like Suicide Squad angle of it, and I was like, I don't know about you know, like if I was 14, I would think this was really deep, but like I really just want to know more about her, you know.
And so, that's a fair criticism. I mean, it definitely worked for me more. Like, I never thought Silco was someone that didn't really care for her during the entire run, right? Like I bought that he had this sort of father figure to her. I mean, I agree. I think we could certainly have gotten more about like why should
but also
go
the
to
crazy
him?
Thing
what those
Silco
early years
why,
were like.
Like, why does he feel that way about her? Like, I mean, I never really understood that. You know, this is just some random street urchin that he finds on the street. And like,
yeah,
you know, I just want to know more about them, basically.
There's a scene where he like takes her out to the water and he talks about how like he died and stuff. Like those scenes, I think when they're together are effective. Like, I really enjoy that scene quite a bit. I mean, you're right. I think it would have been interesting to see what their dynamics would have been like when she was really young.
Yeah.
You know, and like in what way did he choose to sort of take on that father figure? Or was it something that was surprising to him? But
maybe, yeah.
Fair enough.
I just
want
to know
fair
more
enough.
About that shit. And I think that's why I'm saying some of this show feels rushed, where, you know, Kate goes to Vi, springs her from jail to go after the Arcane. And, you know, pretty immediately they're on like hugging terms with each other, and I'm like, when did this happen?
They're definitely like batty eyes, like damn.
Yeah, and it's like, so now they're gonna hook up, and like they just met each other like 24 hours. Like
to be fair though, it's like, you know, Caitlin's into the bad girl, Vi's into the good girl, you know what I mean? I don't really interact across that line very often, so there's got to be sparks.
Well, but I will say, like, I'm not opposed. Like, I from a character perspective, I can definitely see how that makes sense. It just felt rushed, where it was like, this feels like these people have, or
Jace. You know what?
Jace is the hammer guy.
Yeah, the hammer guy. Yeah.
So Jace starts to hook up. he becomes a council member in kind of a whirlwind. He starts to hook up with what's-her-face on the council, and he immediately starts confiding in her, like, all of this really sensitive shit. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, at least give me another episode to show me why you put so much trust in this person. And, like, it's not that I don't believe that their relationship is valid. It's like, and I don't believe that that's where it could end up. It just feels super rushed in the context of the show. And, like, all the drama is happening a mile a minute to basically make room for these crazy fight scenes, which are great. But, like, you could have cut down 3 minutes from each fight scene and given me a little bit more justification as to why people are immediately in love with each other.
This is where I think where my familiarity with these characters and their lore and the game world is a boon to my experience, right? Because all that shorthand I buy, right? Like, I already know who Jace is. I already know who Jinx and Vi are, right? Like, I know what that relationship is like already. So seeing it means, like, I don't need a lot of that backstory because I'm already kind of filled in, you know? Yeah. I mean, I certainly agree with the Jace and his love interest. And, you know, there is fat to cut, right? Like, I think that all of the action on the sort of green hoverboards, which I kept thinking of Green Goblin, because that's what
definitely a vibe. Yeah,
All that stuff was super cool. But Echo as a character didn't need to be in the show at all, right? Echo's in this because I think he will be a main character in future series. He's a character in League of Legends and a popular one and an interesting one, right?
Who has a tragic... The Tree of Life thing was very interesting to me. They weren't able to spend that much time with it, but I thought that whole thing was interesting, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, that kind of content could be cut to focus more in depth on that Jinx Vi dynamic, for sure. Yeah, but I mean, I think overall, right, like one of the things, again, the nuance of the characters, right, was surprising because I am used to focusing on this lore that's like, oh, these are the heroes that I play with every day. And I totally get, like, the relationships between some of those characters felt a little bit rushed. But I did find it interesting that Jace was not someone that was just, I'm a good guy now, right? Yeah. Like, or even Heimerdinger, right? Who's like, Nicole was like, oh, that guy's so funny. He must be a good guy. But I'm like, well, I don't know. He's letting the Undercity rot, right? Like, you know, we're in an era where this has been true for a long time. Outside of, like, you know, really good science fiction, there's this tendency to imagine that technology will be equitably distributed in the future, right? That technology will save us all. But nothing is equitably distributed today. So the idea that technology would be equitably distributed in the future is hogwash, right? And it's kind of the fundamental conflict between the sort of Piltover storyline and the Zaun Undercity storyline. And we've seen this before, right? Like, we've seen other sci-fi stories where, oh, the rich people live up in the clouds and all the poor people are underneath. And it's like, okay, that's a little bit on the nose. But I think it was successful in showing that these characters are just oblivious to what's going on in that other line, right? And I was especially struck by the scene when Jace just fucking murders a child, you know? Like, it's pretty buck wild. And then not only that, but then Vi is like, brush it off, dude. Kids die all the time, you know? And it's like, you have these two characters that are theoretically going after the bad guy, right? Like, they are, they should be the heroes of the show. And Vi has been the hero for a while now. But we see a scenario where she's driven by this desire to go to her sister and get revenge against Silco and doesn't really give a shit about these kids, right?
Yeah.
And and the show shows, like, all of these workers watching them, and you know that, like, well, this is the start of a fundamental conflict, right? Like, this is the start of a war. This is the start where people really, like, separate themselves between those two worlds. And to have our main characters be, like, the focal point of that, I thought was very interesting because it's just not something that you see, right? And not something that I expected out of an adaptation.
Do they incorporate the different racial elements into the lore? I mean, they didn't. I thought it was kind of interesting that they barely touched on it in the show, but
that there's obviously
the Heimerdinger. There's the kind of the guy that runs with Echo. He was kind of like a cat like creature or something.
I don't know what he is. That's not a thing in League of Legends, I don't think.
Well, I was wondering, like, if they were gonna do more of the
they actually look like a bat guy.
That's right. And then there was the monster that looked a lot like the monster with the hook that in those games where when she was buying fish from him, basically, and, like, eating it at the restaurant, like, there, but there's kind of non-human races in this thing. I would be interested in exploring more what the you know, what the warp gates do and the sort of politics that comes with that, because it was very localized to just the lanes and the uptown or whatever. And yeah, so
you want like a Game of Thrones-esque politics story?
Well, I mean, I think
with other countries and stuff. I mean, I think it'll happen, right?
Like, interesting. Like, you know, what's her face's mom came from the other kingdom, and like Noxious. Clearly there's like bigger things at play here, and I would be interested to see how the wheels kind of fit within each other.
I mean, that's kind of what's interesting to me, right? Is again, I know all of this lore already, right? And so Arcane is a prequel. It's not only just how do these characters get their abilities, but you know, like how do they become who they become, right? For me, like the moment Victor showed up, it was cool, and I don't think they explore that character. They don't spend a lot of time with Victor. I think the stuff that they do spend with him, like I think he basically gets an episode where they show his past, and he's like, I don't want to torture animals. And then he's like, okay, I'm ready to fucking torture people.
Yeah,
exactly. I like that arc, and I think that the voice acting and the animation is strong enough that made me really like, if you feel bad, right? Like going into it, I know who Victor is in the game, and he's an evil character in League of Legends. So I knew he would become evil. And so it was kind of a sad and somber experience to just watch him become that, right? And I think the other elements that you point out, like the gates or the other countries of like mentioning of Noxious, or even the way that like Victor's blood went into the energy crystal and sort of became like purple and whatnot, makes me think that they could potentially bring in like void characters, because there's like the void where monsters come from could be part of that whole sequence of events. Like it could be setting up those things in the future, but I like that it didn't like fully lean in on it, right? Because one of the things that is interesting to me about this show and potential sequels is if I continue get to see and spend time in a world that is complicated like this, I do think there's a lot of meat on those bones, right? It's really easy when you're looking at the League of Legends characters to think, oh, you know, Bilgewater is where all the pirates come from, and then Azana is where all like the freaky chemical people and the werewolves come from, and all the rich white people with like engineers are all piltover, and everything becomes this really sort of separated thing, right? Where each region is its own people, right? Like cat people come from this land and this is what they do. And I think that's too simple, right? That's too standard fantasy. And I think the television show, I think, did a good job of complicating those dynamics, right? Where Zaun is this place where there's all of these people with like purple shimmer using their power and they're becoming monstrous, but there's also like genuinely good people. There's inventors down here. And even the main character of Silco is not wholly evil, right? Like there's a sense that he's partly doing what he's doing to provide independence for his people that have been, you know, maligned and ignored by Piltover, you know? Right. I like that a lot, because it's not just the characters that are complicated. It's like the overall politics and the world that is a bit more nuanced. And again, I think it's way too easy when you're talking about a show that could potentially have hundreds of characters that, you know, that League of Legends has, when you're talking about a show that has this built-in fan base and it's complicated and you want it to be very readable to an audience, I think there's a very strong and maybe even justified tendency to oversimplifying the characters and the story.
Right.
And I don't think that show did that to its credit. And I think, you know, my hope would be if you're going to adapt anything, use this as your model, because it's something that is it's true to the world, but it's independent of itself.
They don't bite off more when clearly that could be a temptation, basically.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's well over 150 characters in League of Legends at this point, right? Like, they could have easily been, oh man, we got to get everyone's favorite in here. Let's fit like 15. Oh, and this one, and then Janna will show up, and all she's doing is like selling tea. Like, you know. And they don't do that. I mean, outside of Echo, there is no League of Legends character that doesn't get a good amount of attention, right? Like, even Heimerdinger has a scene where he, like, goes into the Undercity and goes like, oh, man, I fucked up. Like, I'm a terrible person, right? Although he hasn't really paid for that sin yet, I guess.
Right, right. Fuck it. Okay, let me rip this Band-Aid.
Okay.
Very much
dislike Hailee Steinfeld.
No, I don't know where she came from, but she has a great agent because she's fucking everywhere now. So, like, I respect that. You know, game respect game.
Sure.
I respect the creative process, even when I don't even when it's not my cup of tea. So that's what I'm going to say. Like, yep. So that, but now I'm going to say this, which can sound a little harsh. So much of this seemed a bit like it was either a young person writing it or it was writing for a young person.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I should say it's TV-14, right? I think it's writing for a younger audience.
This shit's TV-14? There was some like, pretty graphic stuff in this.
I know, like, I know.
This is all over
the place. There's even like some old mom side boob.
There really is. I mean, I guess the melodrama, and there was definitely many scenes where they said how they felt versus showing how they felt. And even the fact that like Imagine Dragons was the opening to this.
Okay, so that I fucking hate that with a fiery passion. I would skip the intro every time. I do not like Imagine Dragons. I think it's extremely weird that one of my high school friends is in Imagine Dragons, and I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. And there's a one point where they're in the show.
Yeah, there's like an in-universe Imagine Dragons show. Yeah,
I think the musical choices were flawed. I think the score is good when no one's speaking. But even at the end, like there's
the musical
lyrics were like, "You made me lie. You're my enemy," and you're like, "Okay, like I get it."
It's very on the nose in a way that let's hold up the Shining example of things that are written with a kid's audience in mind. Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Sure,
you know it's. It still doesn't fall into those traps of, and again, this really danced on the line of it.
I mean, there is melodrama. I mean, there is certainly like, you know, they poke fun at themselves with the whole Zuko and honor bit at some point.
I mean,
points,
I think,
you know?
But that's the thing. Like this show is, and I don't.
Deadly serious.
It's deadly serious about itself and utterly humorless about what they're trying to do, which, yes, I mean, again, yeah. I respect it. Like, you're trying to do a serious thing. You're fucking serious about your art. Go for it. But it's so fucking serious.
Yeah. I definitely think that's a great criticism. I would love to see, I think if they added another episode and then just used that to add some humor to the existing episodes, it would have been a huge
like there's,
boon.
There's literally no comic relief in this show. Like, zero.
Yeah. I mean, other than like Hymer has a couple of lines, maybe.
But even
funny.
That, he's just more of a like Yoda type character than he's not a like. There's no tension. Like there's no. This game is all. Or this show is all build and no release. Yeah. You know, like there's no Valve. There's no even like R2-D2 or C-3PO type character. You know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just so fucking serious.
Yeah, there's like
itself,
Hymer, you know? Has some poros, those like cute little furry horned creatures. But yeah, I think you're spot on with that. And honestly. One of the things that bummed me about the way that the show ended, although I thought it was, again, I like the show a lot more than you did. And I thought...
I think plot is fine. I just... My main objections are execution-based.
Right.
You know?
Well, like Jinx firing her... That is her ultimate from the game, right?
Yes, I could definitely tell that.
Yeah,
and when I recognized the fucking shark gun, and I was like, there it is.
But like, I loved that scene because it was such a satisfying payout.
Yeah.
Because we've seen other people like use their thing, but to build towards her alt, but her alt is shooting. It's not just like, oh, it's cool. Here's my alt. It's a sad scene because you're like, she's about to fucking murder all of these people.
Yeah.
There's no redeeming her now. Right. Yeah. And when she does this, it will cause a war.
Yeah.
Like, it is a very fundamental scene. But the worst thing I think about that scene overall is it feels like it locks us into the continuation of this story.
Yeah.
And I'm actually would be far more interested if Arcane were told in almost like. It is episodic, but like serialized in a way, right?
Yes.
Jump to a whole different region, a whole different country, talk about different characters, maybe tie this in. Maybe they'll mention like, oh, shit's going down in Piltover or something, or, you know. But I don't know. There's a part of me that wants to jump around and see other things, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What we don't have that Avatar, The Last Airbender had, right, was a premise that took them around the world so that the world building was truly global, right?
Right.
And I don't think we're going to get that out of Arcane because we're locked into this story about these individual characters.
It would be... Actually, we know we are because they just did a teaser for season 2 and they used a bunch of what was clearly B-roll from season 1 to, like, tease it. And it was...
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
It's nothing... It's just a CG trailer with the logo, but it had... Vi and Jinx and Kate all talking. So like it's clearly going to continue with those, some, at least some of those core characters. But I agree where that's where you could get away with your stable of 100 characters, where you could just say, all right, the war started. Now we're going to pick it up on this continent with these people, you know, like we don't have to keep going with the lanes, you know? And so I don't know, that is a way that they could have avoided that stuff.
Maybe they just want that to be a different show. I mean, if they're working on four games at once, I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, hey, let's tell a story that is for kids, that is comedic.
Right, right.
You know, we're going to send it in Dimashi or something.
That's true, yeah. But yeah, I would love to see a little bit of self-awareness, or just a little bit of kind of broadening of the show is, I think the tone is good, but it's very one note. Everything is serious and everything is dramatic, and you don't get a sense of...
I should say, you did fucking mainline the show, because you started it last week, right?
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Well, I knew I was going to wait till they dropped the last three.
Yeah,
because they were doing that weird staggered release thing or whatever. But it was, and again, I don't. That's why I'm saying it's not like I hated it. It's just that it was very. I just didn't think that they were going to go that hard 24/7. You know, like it was just hitting the gas the whole time, and it's like, you know, like let's think about this for a second. And also, just like we don't need all of the super dramatic like lyrics set to it. It just reminded me, it was like very anime in a weird way, which, and you know, I'm all on, I'm down with anime, but like even from an anime perspective, this was pretty damn serious about itself.
Yeah.
To the point where a lot of those fight scenes, they reminded me of a like fan video for YouTube that they would make about Dragon Ball Z or something.
You know,
I'm gonna pick an Imagine Dragons song.
Jace was like charging his weapon, it was like, and he's like holding onto it. Very anime. But that fucking worked for me, dude. Like that was dope as hell. I like that. No,
and I see that, and that was again one of the scenes where I was like, he's doing the thing, you know, because I know like that stuff, which is great.
But there's shit that's like when Vi ripped off the arm of that lady, and like you know, like that's not an ability. She doesn't rip people's arms off, but was fucking dope as hell. Like they still apply their own signature to some of the action as well, you know.
Oh yeah, totally. And I don't think it's a problem. I just think it's more that it's sometimes less is more, and that is not the philosophy of this television
for sure.
show.
What I will say also to the show's credit, and why transmedia I think is fucking cool, I left every episode wanting to play League of Legends.
I was just gonna say, like, even me too, I was like, fuck, this is why I don't play League of Legends, not because I don't like it, it's because I know I would play too much of it. And I thought the same thing too. I was like, after seeing those fight scenes, I was like, oh shit, yeah, I could totally. And even the stupid machine gun that Jinx had, I was like, oh yeah, I know that one. You know, like it's just.
And I'm trashed at all these characters, by the way. There's not a single character that I'm good at that is depicted in this show.
Hey, let me ask you something. Where is a Teemo?
Where is the team? I mean, here's the thing.
Where's Teemo in this whole
If Teemo isn't situation. Moving, he goes invisible. It's possible he's in every scene. The whole time.
I was thinking about
Teemo
that the whole
reporting
time.
For duty. Yeah.
Yeah. And because that's just such a like old school, like Teemo was always the kind of like, you know, everyone's wearing Teemo hats even before the whole redesign, you know, that I guess especially before the redesign. Like, I mean, Teemo is such an iconic character.
That is for the comedic spinoff. Like, that's when we get Ziggs, Rumble, right. Teemo. Like, we just get a whole Yordle cast and set it in, like, you know, Vandal City or something.
I mean, I was mixed on it, but even so, I think this shit is cool, and this is why, you know, all of the weird... Netflix is just going really, really hard into like weird video game shows, which I'm completely on board for because I watched The Witcher, I watched Castlevania, I watched this, second season, you know.
And mark my words, right? Like The Witcher did very well.
Yeah,
Arcane has done very well, right? Like I truly think that in the next 2 to 3 years, we are going to see at least 5 to 6 more video game adapted television series,
right?
Specifically for streaming. And it's going to be these big ones, right? Like, it's going to be Mass Effect. It's going to be, like, notable names, right?
Yeah.
The fact that they did an Uncharted movie feels, now in retrospect, a waste, right? We know we're getting The Last of Us as a television right. series, which is yeah. also extremely expensive. Like, it is coming. Like, that deluge is coming.
Right. And it'll just be like all video. It'll just be a whole separate genre. It'll be Netflix games or whatever.
I'll bet you I'll bet you $20 right now that in the next 5 years, we will get an Animal Crossing video game or a TV series. God. We're going to get an Animal Crossing TV series. It's going to be like some, you know, young adult
Nintendo
show.
Hasn't learned the fucking lesson yet because they're making that Mario movie with Chris Pratt. Like, they
I mean,
just made
that's
a
my
TV
point.
Show.
In 5 years. It's because Nintendo was 5 years behind. Yeah. And so 5 years from now, they'll finally catch up.
5 years from now, Nintendo will be like, guys, did you know that there's television on the internet?
Yeah. And also, we can support our fighting game community? What? Maybe we shouldn't sue fans into the ground.
I love that Animal Crossing idea, man. That now that's a show you could binge.
I mean, and honestly, I think that show would do fucking gangbusters.
Just like in this episode, you plant turnips.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, it's time to like hang out with the villagers.
Wow, check out this tea house. How cozy.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I was glad that we were able to do a little debrief on this.
Yeah.
ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our website. You can also find the podcast wherever you find podcasts. Do us a favor. Leave us a review. Tell a friend.
All right. Until next time, everyone. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
We'll see you at season 2.
See ya.